All right, so let us then, with you, now co-write this part of the workshop. So who would like to speak with us, and who would like to ask a question or to bring up a particular topic?
Thank you, Galexis. This is Cass.
Hello, Cass.
Hello. I asked this question, oh, it was about a month ago, I guess. I talked to, as I recently retired, actually it's been 7 months from teaching for 28 years in one school, 35 years of teaching, where everything was structured. I just went there and the audience was there. And so now I'm about to start the work that I really think I came in to do this life, although teaching is all part of it. So I have all these fears, like, okay, like I want to do prenatal bonding, working with pregnant parents, bonding with their babies. And I know I've had past lives doing this. I worked with a couple 18 years ago. And I really want to do the work, but there's this fear, like, nobody will come to me, that won't happen. And I've been getting these, like, anxiety attacks. And I think part of it is just not teaching every day. I miss that interaction with the students so much. And I'm teaching part-time places, but so I'm ready now. I have the brochures, and I'm going to go around to OBGYNs, and I have a place, a beautiful place that I can use free to do the workshops. I'm all ready, but there's these fears like, well, who am I? Like, nobody's going to want to do this. And I've always done different things in my teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it's work because, you know, I just was there with the school district. I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but I did.
But you did it anyway, yeah?
I did it anyway, and it worked. But now I feel like, oh, but there is no school district backing me up. That anyway.
It's all up to you.
Yeah. And so I know, and being a four, you know, I came in with all this, like, I'm a mistake, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of coming back to me. But part of me knows that it will work, but part of me just got this fear. So if I could identify, like, what area of darkness it is and process that.
All right. Well, we would suggest that what's going on right now is that you are in the chaos,
which
is in between the past and the future. There's this overlap place where it's all blah, 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 scrambled, right? And there's all this kind of empty free-fall space in there without structure, right? That's what's creating the anxiety more than anything else, because there's no sense of control. There's nothing that seems to be predictable. There, in a way, you've lost part of your string of continuity, right? So what we would pick up here is, of course, yes, there is the darkness, and during the time of chaos, it's imperative for people who want to emerge into the new paradigm, into a new and greater reality for themselves, to encounter and to face and to be very gracious and loving to themselves in the darkness. And at the same time, to recognize that the main thing that you're experiencing is the break in the continuity of identity. And you had such a comfortable identity for so many years. You could see yourself as a little bit of the rebel, right? But you had this nice kind of backdrop to rebel against, right? There's nothing to rebel against anymore.
Oh, there isn't.
So there's a certain identity that you have of yourself as the rebel.
All right.
Okay, I'm the one that's a little odd, I'm the different one, I'm the, you know, and so on. And in a way, it used to be a point of pride for you, right? Well, what happens when you become the authority, and you are the backdrop, you create the backdrop, and, you know, there's nothing to rebel against any longer. All right, dear one? So, of course, you're going to face the darkness, but we would say the secret is not in the darkness. Yes, you're going to face it, and it's important for you to do this as you can, so that you can cross into this. And in that darkness, you will find anxiety, which are old fears and so forth, not addressed, right? We would say these fears relate directly to the identity of you as the rebel, all right? The initial, what you might say, maladaptation to the consensus at the time that you went through puberty, where you realized it didn't fit you and you started to look into your future, because somehow between the ages of 10 and 13, every person has this glimpse of the future. They have the, it's that moment where their eyes open, they realize, you know, I'm going to really grow up now. And in growing up, I'm going to have to take my place amongst adults out in the world. I'm not going to be in this child environment much longer. And I'm going to have to go out there and learn how to be me. I'm going to have to learn how to communicate on my own. I'm going to have to deal with it on my own. And so at that time, you look into the future and you look out and you have your assessor, your critical assessor, tells you, well, you know, you can only be this successful. And so your critical assessor will generally give you a very short-sighted, you know, very limited version of what you can be and what you can do. Now, most people say, well, I hope that, you know, by the time I get out there into my 20s and my adulthood and so on, that I'll somehow or another I'll find what I need and find what I'm looking for. But generally what happens is that by the time a person gets into their 20s or so, they find themselves limited by the very limited perspective of the critical assessor and stuck in that identity. And so what you decided to do, and this is when the rebels start showing up, it starts showing up in puberty. The concept of rebel is not really even present in childhood much. What do you, you know, you don't know how to rebel yet. You know how to resist. You know how to go do passive resistance. If you've ever seen a, you know, a three-year-old go limp, you know, in the supermarket and the parents dragging, you know, okay. You know what passive resistance is. You know what a temper tantrum is. So that's active resistance. You know what no is about and so on. But when you enter adolescence, when you go through puberty, that's when you start to wake up that what you're rebelling against is not a single person. You're rebelling against a whole system. There's a whole system out there. And are you going to fit in or are you not going to fit in? And right away, most people don't think they fit. You know, the channel used to be a psychologist. She had clients who would come in on a weekly basis and do all sorts of, you know, therapeutic analysis and blah, 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 and talking things. And she found more than one, maybe two or three of them, were women who had been cheerleaders, had been voted queen of the prom, you know, or homecoming queen or whatever. In other words, the most popular girls in school. And to a T, they all said, well, you know, I really never felt like I fit in. And, you know, if they didn't fit in, who did? All right? Obviously, no one. All right? So whatever the standard was, it was an impossible, imaginary standard. All right? Now, the point is that what the rebel does, it says, I refuse to have an impossible imaginary standard applied to me. It's too overwhelming. I will never learn all the rules. So I'm going to be rebellious. I'm going to be independent. I'm going to have my own way. And it comes out of a certain, you know, honoring of your own temperament, actually, to do that. And it gives you a certain sense of self you can hold on to during a time where, for most people, their sense of self can be horribly crushed. However, once you become the authority, once you become the one empowered, the need to be the rebel no longer exists because you make the rules, right? So that's what we would suggest for you to look at this point in your life, is to look forward into your future from the point of view of you, the empowered one, and from the point of view, as in a sense, not needing any longer to be different, but just to be yourself. And whatever yourself needs to be, out of loving yourself, out of unconditionally accepting yourself, you know that you will radiate the love that will be the beacon that will attract to you the people who will want to work with you. Right? You understand that principle,
yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Because it's a kind of a resonance thing. If you hold the frequency, you know, it'll bring you the reality that's congruent with the frequency. If you're a rebel, then you've got to attract resistance. You've got to attract some kind of dogma, you know? There are certain people who fight dogma all their life. And if they would just realize they could just stop being the rebel now, stop resisting, right? Just stop it and take up their authority and take their power back, right? So you may want to go and find your inner rebel and take your power back from her, right? Now, your martyr entitled self will say you have to play by certain rules and you have to do it right and you have to appear a certain way and you have to, appeal to a whole bunch of authority figures or you have to have the authority figures and know what the rules are so that you can rebel against them. And so all of that will be eliminated, you see? Because you have anxiety that you're out in the middle of nowhere and you have no reference points. Because if you can't rebel against something, what's your reference point? A rebel has an external reference point. That's the same way with people who like live their lives around another person. That other person is their reference point. They are not their reference point. But when you accept yourself and you heal yourself, you'll be the reference point. Right? And yeah, you're in the unknown. It's totally unknown. It's a totally new reality for you. And your identity is undergoing some major shifts right now. As soon as you retired from teaching, your identity started to dissolve, your old identity. And how wondrous that is. Yay! The continuity had to become something different than from what it was when you were teaching. You see, so the continuity thread now is you as the powerful reality creator that you are. That's the continuity thread now. Now, as long as you hold on to it, as long as you heal yourself and continue the self-loving process, you'll find that the fear will transmute into excitement because you are terribly excited about this. This is absolutely the most wondrous, exciting adventure that you've been on in just ages and ages, right? So that excitement will propel you, will give you energy, will radiate the light and the energy out to others to touch, to be called by, okay? And you will emerge on the other side of the chaos with a new template. And that template will include a new sense of continuity for yourself, a new sense of identity. And out of that new sense of identity, a new self-image will emerge. And that self-image will no longer be the rebel. You see?
Yes.
That self-image will be the loving authority, let's say. The compassionate, knowing one. Something like that. Right? Because you know that you're there, but your self-image is not reflecting that because the identity hasn't transmuted into that place yet. And for everyone on the planet at this particular time, the time we are giving this workshop here today, at this particular time, the whole planet is in a period of chaos. The old reality and the new reality are overlapping and creating all sorts of confusion and emptiness, and people are free falling left and right. You, as one of the light beings who've chosen to emerge on the other side and to hold a new light. Okay? Now, just think about your fears right now. You see how they shifted already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can feel the other side now.
You can feel the other side, yeah. So you just put a hook out there. Grab that image. Grab that sensing. You know.
You know, it's funny because I just been listening to your Fear into Excitement, and I created a workshop called Transforming Fear into Excitement maybe 15 years ago that I was doing in Japan and here.
You already have it, right? See, it's just going to emerge now. And it's going to emerge now in a way that you can utilize more profoundly and effectively than ever before. And it will work better now because you no longer have the rebel in the way. Then you step into and claim a new self-image, a new way of portraying your identity to the world, a new way of, you know, a new way of revealing yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. Now, if a person is in, to reveal their rebel, is scary. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's time for you to let go of the rebel, because if the rebel is revealed, then there is conflict. Because a rebel thrives on conflict.
Yeah.
Right? Being different, conflicting with the majority, resisting the majority, going their own way, being alone, being unsupported because they go their own way. I know you're part of the whole now, and so there's no conflict. So just remember that, and you'll find that it'll calm down stuff. It'll calm down fears. The anxiety will diminish. And if the anxiety comes up, just say, you know, I'm in the chaos right now. I'm in the free fall, and let me just imagine myself free falling and then landing on my feet. Okay, I am the knower. I am the compassionate, wise one. You know, and as soon as you claim that, different perspective on yourself, you know, then you realize, hey, I have value and worth to others. The rebel doesn't think they have any value or worth to others. It was your teacher that said, okay, I've got value and worth for my students. And you saw the value of rebelling because of an educational system that had so much limitation in it. Mm-hmm. But now, that wisdom can be put to use. Okay. All right, dear one.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Great, clear.
All right. So who's next?
Thank you. Hello, Galexis. It's Olivia.
Yes.
I spoke with you a few weeks ago, and you suggested I access a experience that I had when I was 8 or 9. And I was finally able to do that, and I've been working with that, and it just blew me away because when I really understood what my child had believed and agreed to at that time, it was just, well, the adult in me is horrified. So it left me shaken in my core, and it's taken me a few days to kind of absorb it all. But anyway, in just listening to you today, and I thank you for that suggestion, because when you mentioned it, I thought, oh no, not again! I've got to go back, and I just can't remember anymore. But there was more to know,
and so, there was,
and
yes,
there
and
was.
You remembered it.
Yes, I did. Finally, but as I've been listening to you today, it's just hit home how. How out of myself I've been, and in the sense that yes, I've lived a life of martyr because of what it happened as a child and the way I decided to react and deal with my reality, and I've had rage and anger and fear, and the anger and rage was frozen inside of me. It's taken me a long time to really access and let it out and work with it and so forth. And I realized how I constructed a fantasy life for so long, and then waking up was horrible, but yet of course the greatest thing I've ever done so far, right?
Well, so, you suddenly became very alive, and you go, oh my God, I'm feeling everything.
And even throughout, as I was growing up, I would read my horoscope and think, well, I'm nothing like my sign. I'm different than my sign, and I'm a water sign. I'm a Cancer. And of course, if I had paid attention to that earlier, I might not have taken so long to wake up. But nevertheless, my question to you is about how to work with identity and image more, because I've had such limited identities and limited images of myself, and I've worked with others such as Lazarus in terms of working with image, but I've never been able to do it that effectively. I don't feel that I can. And so I guess maybe I need more practice, but I would like some words of wisdom along those lines, because it would help me a lot, I think, at this point.
All right. The one that's trying really hard but doesn't think that she can, all right, that is the one who's being assessed. And the assessment is that she really can't do it, okay? That she's not up to par. She's not somehow smart enough. She's not together enough. And the insinuation is that you better well accept it, because you're never going to be really smart enough. It's just going to be one tough battle after another to get yourself up there and get yourself successful and all that kind of stuff, considering where you've come from and all the wounds you're carrying and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So the key to working with identity and self-image is that you've got to get that critical assessor healed, which is what we're going to be doing later today, all right?
Okay.
Because the critical assessor is really, well, what you call it, up to no good. They're performing a rote sequence of statements of limiting beliefs to you. And all the changes, image changes, and all the identity shifts and so forth that you've done, while it has opened you up, while it has spiraled you through the darkness over and over again, that when you emerged out of it, as soon as you would emerge out of the fray, out of the stuff, your negative or your critical assessor would basically just tell you, okay, well, you made it through that one, and okay, you're set until the next one, and you didn't make much progress, and all that kind of thing that kept you linked to an old identity. Your old identity, you have the self that's being assessed is an old identity. You have shifted some of it, but much of it got stuck at that 8-9 years of age level, right? Now, you've done some releasing on that. We can see that.
Yes.
And that is really, really good. But you haven't gotten a positive assessment in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still working with it. But
you're still kind of floating around and in between, in the void, in between the old self-assessment and buying into that and being there automatically, instinctively, and trying to fathom what the new one is going to be. So you look at your temperament, okay, and you accept your darkness and accept what you may think is all the downsides of your temperament. And if you want to look at it through astrological, you know, you've got the Cancerian, you've got the water. Now there's two other zodiac signs that help compile it. So you might, out of fun, you find what your moon sign is and your rising sign is, and play with those and read those and see which are your top two and all that, and have a certain fun time playing with it, finding your temperament, saying, oh yeah, this fits and that, because no one is strictly one, you know?
Yes.
All right? And if you have a judgment at one, you'll do a compensation, which will kind of take you to almost an extreme opposite of it. So whereas the Cancerian can be very sensitive and can be very open and so on, the compensation to that sense of extreme vulnerability and fear of being hurt and fear of being made unsafe and fear of all that damage potential, what happens is that the child will take on all sorts of responsibilities, all sorts of heavy duties, and motivate herself by duty and obligation, or by waiting for a crisis to come, therefore necessity will force her to to grow under those circumstances. And by taking on everything, taking on other people's stuff and so on, being seemingly very, very responsible, but actually very burdened, then you get into the issue of control.
Of course.
All right? Yes. And so that's your compensation for being out of control, or the fear of being out of control, that it's so unsafe. You see? Mm-hmm. So your motivation is to be safe, right?
Exactly.
All right. So, in a sense, that's a true cancer, right? True cancerian, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, just play with it and realize, okay, so I did the compensation. But also, go look at the part of me that can actually step into the darkness and be vulnerable without judgment. Just to kind of look at it. Oh, look at the martyr. Yeah, that's interesting. Look at the fantasy, the scum overlay on my beautiful pond.
Exactly.
You know, and let me just look at the other aspects of darkness. Where do I slave drive myself? Where do I push myself to be something that I'm not really wanting to be, but I think I've got to be? To be loved, to be accepted, to be okay.
Well, I spent 20 years doing that. I'm not doing that anymore.
I've been there, done that. Yes. Okay. And to look at it without judgment. And without, and to forgive yourself for having, you know, fallen prey to it, because what else were you going to do? You know? What other options did you have at 9, right?
Right.
You didn't. You know, the only option you had was to identify with the shameful you, with the bad you, you know, the child you, the helpless one, the one that's going now is going to have to take on the world, mm-hmm. just to handle things, to not fear this weakness, you know. So when you can start seeing that the vulnerability is a strength, okay,
mm-hmm.
and the open intuitiveness and the emotionality is a strength.
Yeah.
And revel in it and play with it and let yourself touch the possibility of being out of control and to relish the freedom of it and to relish the safety of it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, most people look at out of control and they just go gaga over it. Oh no, no way. Anything but that. But the thing is that on an emotional level, if you can just imagine yourself just feeling and expressing whatever comes through you, and that it's safe to do so, and that whatever feedback you get, that you can just love yourself, and you can laugh. And you say, oh, okay, I see that, and that means ba ba ba, and use it non-judgmentally, that you can see that connection between you and your mirror, and you and your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like most people, if you want to see who you are, you go and you look in a mirror, right?
Yes.
And so there's a certain marvelous opportunity here to use all your mirrors to see who you are. Now, the critical assessor has used a spin on those mirrors, will twist it and interpret it to be a judgment. And when you clear out that, then you can use that mirror and you can see how much more you are. And you can see how you, the adult, is not this person who's nailed down control finally. Yes. We finally got the world under control. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that now that's when I'll think that I'm grown up and mature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, whose opinion of maturity is that? The 9-year-olds, you know, or 10-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that the adult is in more free fall than child or adolescent. Why? It's because the adult is the one who's in the present,
mm-hmm.
is the one who's creating. The child and the adolescent are more reacting, you see, responding, reacting. But the adult can create, because the adult is the empowered one. And when you realize that, you realize you're safe. When you face your darkness and love yourself regardless, then you realize what realities you're going to create, whatever reflections you're going to give yourself, you're going to be safe. because you're going to be able to get reflections, you're going to be able to utilize them, and you're going to be happier and happier. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you work with image and identity. And every time you grow, every time you stretch, every time you go for something, sort of like Cassie's example too. She's in a very high growth oriented phase right now, making a big expansion, making a big growth, and you too, making a huge expansion now, okay? Mm-hmm. As you go into an expansion, and this is what we're going to be doing also in the, we'll be detailing it in the steps and we'll be doing it in the meditation, you expand your self-image deliberately, consciously, again and again and again, proactively. Don't wait for a good reality to come in and then say, oh, then I must be, you know, this bright. No, you get this bright and then you'll bring in the reality you want. The image comes first.
Yes.
All right? And so when you work with identity and image, you want to heal your identity. And by healing that and releasing and kind of, you know, putting that critical assessor up for retirement, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're finished. Their job's over. It's supposed to be done when you grow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it anymore. You're the authority now, not them, right? And so as you become the positive assessor, the loving assessor, who is a partner to the essential identity, you see, mm-hmm. then you expand your self-image and you just can create realities from that expanded self-image. You see, positive intentions, expanded yes. self-image, empowered, mm-hmm. responsible, mm-hmm. safe.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
I do.
Now, what that means is that your identity is going to change. The continuity is going to say safe, empowered. You see?
Yes.
And when you see your essence as being safe, empowered, light being.
It's like a new way of being.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you apply that on your day-to-day basis. You act instinctively from a place of power rather than instinctively from a place of child. You are making changes in your external world.
Yes.
You see.
If I could just ask a quick corollary question. When the information became conscious, it came to my conscious mind and I realized what had gone on and I started having this horrible pain in my lower back and my pelvic region on the left-hand side. And I've lived with that pain for decades and I have always attributed it to scoliosis because I have idiopathic scoliosis and I wore a Milwaukee brace throughout my teen years. And, you know, doctors say, well, you know, everybody who has scoliosis lives with this back pain. And so I've just lived with it. And sometimes I hardly even notice it, but it came back to the point where this last week that some days I could hardly walk. It hurt to walk. It's subsiding again. And it just occurred to me that perhaps it was related to that incident.
Absolutely.
And
that's where it began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you made a choice then that you could not be yourself because you could not be accepted. You could not be supported as yourself. You could not receive information for yourself.
Yes.
Okay? Receiving, left side.
Yes.
Supporting, lower back.
Yes.
Okay? You had to become strong, hips, sacrum.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You had to have a new balance for yourself that toughens you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Creates this twist in the
yes,
spine
absolutely.
Because you don't let the energy flow through freely because flowing the energy through freely, oh my gosh, that's out of control. That's not safe. It wasn't then anyway.
Yes.
It didn't feel that way then. So you did this because somehow or another, your perception of yourself then was twisted. Your body was twisted to correlate with it.
And with the twisted.
Right. The scoliosis is the twist.
Yes. With the twisted life, yes.
Right, and so mm-hmm. your life was twisted. It was basically truncated, in a sense. You put it in the box, and any time that you stepped out of the box, you were afraid that you were going to be reviled, punished, rejected, humiliated, lonely, et cetera, et cetera.
And
it was
I was
scary.
Anyway. What? I was anyway.
Absolutely. You had to, in a sense, yeah, you had to go there because that was you having to face your darkness.
Yeah.
And it was a precipitant for you. It was kick-ass school of growth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do see.
Mm-hmm. And so
very
you,
much so.
You created that as your necessity to propel you, to motivate yourself to get safe, i.e. control. That was all the rules you knew at the time.
Yes.
You have new rules now, and so you're breaking out of the box, so the pain's coming back, so that you can heal it now.
Okay.
And even a scoliosis of long duration can be, for the most part, healed. You don't have to endure so much pain. For most people, the consensus opinion is as you get older, as you go into middle age, and especially if you get in over, once you get over 40 or so, your scoliosis is going to get worse. That's the consensus.
Yes.
And why? Because if you've been twisting your life up till then, you get to that point, and here's where you're going to really have to make a peace with your life, and you can't. Because you don't see how to stop the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
This momentum of what you've been doing. You just, you want that continuity. You can't handle the terror of losing the continuity. So you continue. But then there's even more energy because in your middle years, starting in your 40s, there's more energy that's moved through your identity than before.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the cycles of life, of your uniqueness must shine. You come to a kind of a peak somewhere in your middle years of your selfness.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so there's a whole bunch of factors going on. But yes, that's a wonderful feedback for you, and more, as you love and accept yourself and nurture yourself and take care, good care of yourself, because you know how to nurture and take care of.
Yes.
You've done that beautifully for others.
Yes.
And now for you to shift that identity, that basic identity now, to create a new thread of continuity. Okay. So
okay.
Powerful time for you.
Yes. Thank you
and
so much.
And expanding your self-image is going to make a good difference for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're
I'm
welcome.
So appreciative.
All right. So who else?
Hello, Galaxis.
Hello.
You had talked about our all being one and working more with the nature spirits, with the sylph and the undine, and the gnomes and the salamanders, and also with the ethers. And I have been doing this for quite some time, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about this and bring it to a new level of realness and being palpable. And I recently found out that in another life, when I was Scarif in ancient Egypt, that I did healing back in nature, and it was working with the nature spirits, like putting someone in a circle and calling in the nature spirits to the consciousness of them to travel through someone, and then also to release them of anything that wasn't theirs. And I don't know that much about this. I've just begun this practice. And I was wondering if we could talk more about working with the nature spirits, the consciousness, and co-creating with them.
All right. Well, most of that is outside the specific focus of this workshop. But what is inside the focus of this workshop is the way that you perceive your capacity to do this, number one, and number two, to pick up the connections to the nature spirits more directly, so it's for you to be able to trust your perceptions more, right?
Yeah.
And so we'd say that from the perspective of self, we would suggest that that as a identity, that there's an assessment of yourself that this is going to take a lot of effort. There's a lot of work. There's a big learning curve to go through. There's because somehow or another, it's not just plopping in just so easy as pie, and you don't see them so as clearly as you think you should, and all that kind of stuff. So there's this kind of perception of yourself as not being at that level of awareness yet. You understand, right?
I do, yes.
All right? And this is what you give this to yourself when you go through a growth curve. Look at all the learning curves you go through. You get yourself to a place to where you feel like you have to do so much effort, so much learning, so much education, so much practice, so much dedication, that you can overwork yourself. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
All right. Why? Because your critical assessor is saying, okay, with the feedback, you haven't gotten it yet. Harder, harder. Mm. And so out of your darkness comes the slave driver. Crack, crack, the whip. All right? So yes. We would suggest face your darkness, face that slave driver, give it a nice gold watch and a retirement party, and send it over to some beautiful Ireland to retire.
Wow.
You don't need your critical assessor. You don't need your slave driver anymore. You don't need either one of them. But the slave driver has really been on your case heavy.
Yes.
You've spent a lot of your life trying really hard to achieve. Whereas your natural essence of your identity is not about achievement. See, this is something that your critical assessor and your slave driver got in cahoots and really got on top of your case and told you this is what you had to do in order to gain enough power, enough strength, enough value, enough resource, enough, enough, enough. But what it betrays is that the initial assessment that you bought into was that you're just not enough. That you've got to earn every little smidgen on your path with due diligence and effort. Right?
Yes, I see this clearly, what you're saying. Yes.
Right, right. So the point we're making here is that as you will give yourself a more authentic and loving self-assessment, you will see that you came here to love. And to play. Kind of the opposite, isn't it?
Yes.
And you know that. But you don't trust it. You kind of like, oh, I hope for it. And so you kind of put it, unfortunately, in part of your fantasy. You got to remove it out of your fantasy because it's not fantasy, dear one. Loving and playfulness. Just part of your nature, you see. It will call to you and attract to you by its very resonance if you will give it value. If you'll give your natural essential nature, your temperament, value, and stop trying to be the workaholic to give yourself value. And to be yourself, you will attract to yourself what you need and, you know, what you desire. Because the nature spirits have been with you from the get-go. They're still here. They will be here. And it's not that you have to work hard to get the connection really good with them. They're just sitting there. They'll give you every piece of information you need to know. And you can open up your receptivity to them. And you can allow yourself to love, and they will be attracted to you, and you'll start to trust your perception, which is something that you got your perceptions all distrusted. Do you know what we're saying?
Yes.
It's like what you, because you perceived a lot more than other children, but you got the message, don't see that. Don't know that. That's going to get you in trouble. Your critical assessor said, you're odd, you're strange, this is not going to work. You're going to have to do it another way. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to play the right image, do the right role. And then you'll get your validation. You'll get your what you need. And he said, oh, okay. Because you didn't have much power to do otherwise at the time. You understand that?
I do, yes.
All right. So you take your power back. You trust yourself more. Your reality is indeed safe. As much as you challenge yourself on this issue sometimes, it is indeed safe. It is indeed supportive. It is indeed loving. But if you put so much focus on some issue or something like that, it'll make it hard for you to get there. As soon as you put charge on something, as soon as you put an extra weight on something, your identity, that essential identity, the assessed one, the one that's assessed incorrectly, that you buy into, is, oh gosh, okay, here's a big mountain now. I've got to climb the mountain and got to learn how to do the work and I've got to practice diligently. The discipline is admirable, dear one, but you don't have to do so much because your loving heart will do it. Okay?
Wow.
Surprise, right? Not really. But the trust factor isn't there.
Yeah.
And that's where you learned as a part of your continuity of identity is that you could not trust yourself. Because your perceptions didn't match other people's. You
yes.
see?
Yes.
Because you saw these nature spirits when you were a kid. And you talked to them, and they talked to you, and you had long conversations. Most of what you forgot, because you got to that point of making that choice. No, I'm not this person. Yeah. You didn't identify there anymore. So it got erased, selectively erased from your memory, because your personal history, you only kept those pieces that was consistent with the image that you thought you had to be. You understand?
I do.
And that's true for everyone. That personal history gets really edited severely. And unfortunately, the editing is done by the critical assessor. Not the one you want to have do the editing.
Wow. Yes.
So then your continuity keeps you inhibited. Those of you who have difficulty with your psychic awareness and psychic perception, who feel totally limited in your capacity to visualize, imagine, and dream, and be creative and stuff like that, or if you are a creative person and you're experiencing a creative block, it'll go right back to some kind of lingering continuity thread of identity that's come up to be released. Or is up all the time to be released. The feedback is, hello, you know, you've got this as part of your identity, as part of your image, the way you express your identity, your image. And so you've already bought into this belief that you don't have these powers, these capacities. But you're a human being. You have them all. You don't really have limits like you think you do. That's just the box that the critical assessor puts you into, or kept you by, or your slave driver kept you in there. Achieve, achieve, achieve. It's got to look like this. It's got to be like that. And so you put too much order on it instead of just opening and let it teach you. Let it come to you and teach you effortlessly. Now, you're already doing some of that. You go into the garden and you open. You open a whole vortex every time you do that. There's healing energies that you just draw to yourself every time you do that. You know that, right?
Yes.
You call it.
Yes.
You set it up. You've set up some kind of grid and you just call it right in and it comes right in. Sometimes you can really feel it. Sometimes you don't feel it as much, because when you don't feel it as much, that trust is shaky on those days. And so the alignment with your the thread of identity that of you and the belief about you as being able to do that effortlessly is not there. In fact, the thread that shows up can be, oh, it's effort. You have a lot of work to do. We want to point out that you can go and you spend all this time and energy drawing the forces and bringing the energies in and so forth and so on, when actually you just have to walk there and say, I'm ready. It's there. You don't have to go through the ritual every time. But you don't trust that, you see? Yeah, you have to go through a ritual maybe 2-3 times. That's all. You get it until it's established. You get the energy is established. You get the reference points connected. Then all you have to do is just step into sacred space in sacred manner, and bang, it's there.
Wow.
With your intention. But you're not owning the power of your intention, because that wasn't consistent with your self-perception as a child or an adolescent.
Wow, this is huge. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, too. All right. We have time for one more.
Hello, Galexis. This is Bonnie.
Hello.
Thanks again for this workshop. It's a good recap for me. I've had, it's not the chaos. It's just, how shall I say it? May I ask, I've had some misinformation and disinformation floating around in my head. I haven't been too successful in my life with tarot readings or anything you'd call metaphysical, magical, or spiritual. And I had a Christian fundamentalist upbringing. So finally, we're getting around to what I call this my kitchen sink lifetime. I think I've brought a lot of issues here, and it's been frustrating. Who needs to be stuck in rebel? I had Torah revealed to me that I had a lifetime with my mother where, you know, it started where I was told that I dropped the ball with my mother in another life and that I have a martyr contract with her, which was extinguished last year. Who wants to hear they had a martyr contract? Okay, I didn't know what to do with that, and all of this has been festering. Then I was told she was one of my children. A year later, she was one of my children when I was an alcoholic mother of five. You know, I've had problems with my self-image. I didn't manage to go through puberty, and it was traumatic for me. So I got frozen in child, adolescent, you name it, and now I'm sitting here going, okay, just the heck with all of it. I get it now, but I really would like to know, is it true? Was I a shaman in another life? Because there are times I have felt it's there for me. I've had amazing, magical moments.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, first of all, we would suggest that as far as you're seeking and searching for a positive assessment of yourself, which is what all of this has been, you know, getting readings on, and trying out the tarot and doing all this kind of thing, has been on search for a new assessment of yourself. You knew that the old critical assessment of yourself was not right. It was painful. It was limiting. It was filled with effort and somehow or another tremendous amounts of disappointment. And the disappointment or the failure energy was stuck in there as part of the critical assessor saying, well, you know, you're just not going to be successful. That's just all there is. Yeah. Anything you try, you're just going to flop at it. Right? And it's because the only thing that's going to work for you is if you apply yourself to the right thing in the right way, in the right manner, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff, which was actually BS, which you now, of course, know. Yeah. So the point we're saying here is this. You have lifetimes in which you have suffered miserably, horrible lifetimes.
Well, this is
and
no
you've
picnic.
Had beautiful lifetimes, right? You've had both.
Well, that's actually actually, you don't have to give me details. It's just good to know because all I've experienced is crap. And all
when you go to middlemen
is crap. So it's like, what am I doing here?
Okay, dear one, when you go to a reading and you get a past life influence, quote unquote, to be brought in, you're generally there presenting a problem. You're generally there presenting an issue or a concern or a frustration. So what's a thread that's going to connect to that? It's going to connect to a problem in some other life. All right? It's going to, because the theory is this, and this is part of what you've been doing with your mirroring, and all of you have been doing in your life with mirroring, is that if you mirror a problem strong enough, big enough, in your face, huge enough, then maybe you'll get how to work the feedback. But then you're not trained to do it. So basically all you get is more shame on yourself, more judgment on yourself, more critical assessment on yourself,
yeah.
And you feel smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, all right? So what we're saying here is that, yes, you've had beautiful, powerful, majestic lifetimes. You've been more than a shaman. You've been a very well-known spiritual religious teacher that people would travel hundreds of miles to go and sit at the feet of, okay? You've had lifetimes in which you have been very bold leader, compassionate leader. You've had lifetimes in which you were a great educator, researcher. You've had a lifetimes in which you've done magic. And actually, when you've done a lifetime in which you've done astrology and tarot, you know, you've had these lifetimes. But the thing is that there's a part of you that got shamed so deeply that with your religious upbringing in this lifetime, it slammed it into the darkness and told you don't ever go there. If you notice about, you know, fundamentalist religion is that they will classify anything that is not similar to them, just like them, as darkness. And they'll be terrified and afraid of it. They will hate it. They will kill for it. If it shows up, they will punish and kill the person that represents the, quote-unquote, the darkness, the evil, the whatever. And so what we would suggest for you is that, again and again, the feedback that you've been giving yourself, the mirror feedback for you has been, go to your darkness. Heal the darkness. Accept the darkness. Be with the darkness without judgment. Okay?
That makes sense. And I had the Lazarus dark shadow tape, and most of it went over my head. So this has been very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right. Because, you may have done a martyr contract, but she's right. You know, it's not there now.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to put martyr anymore. You don't want to let your critical assessor tell you that you're a martyr anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, that most of that went over my head, but thanks a million.
Right, and your darkness needs to be loved. Your internal martyr that you still have maybe hang on to, she needs to be loved, right? That's the way you resolve them. You love them. You love the internal slave driver. That's why you give it a nice gold watch and a great retirement party. You know, and just give it a wonderful life, you know, elsewhere, right? You know, you can love these parts of yourself. They're all our parts of yourself. But you were taught to hate these parts. You were taught to fear these parts. You were taught not to engage yourself with these parts of yourself.
And then the analysis or the deconstruction turns into a judgment on some level. And then I'm
afraid
to process because I'm wondering what's at play down in my subconscious mind. It's like, okay,
and then
now
you're
I've
not,
got to go down. And
absolutely. And you're not.
And I have to this. And what is that?
Right. And it's you reinforcing that you're not safe.
Okay.
Because you don't know your darkness. That your darkness is not okay. It's a shaming that you're. Critical assessor makes of you continuously to say you are this shamed one, you are this lesser one, and all those dark things, you need to avoid those like the plague, because first of all, you know, that taints you, and that's going to shame you even more. And you go, oh, it's going to shame me more, oh, I'll stay away, you know. and so on, it's made you afraid of your darkness. So you're afraid of your reality that you're going to make a lot of mistakes because it gets projected from inside out. In other words, judgments that have come from you to you from other people is reflective of you judging yourself and you judging them. So in a sense, if your negative or critical assessor judges you to keep you on that continuity line of identity as this, you know, moron that's flailing around and who knows what, trying to barely, you know, keep above the darkness, keep your head above water, so to speak, with it. If you keep playing with that one, then what happens is that you just feel swamped and submerged all the time. And so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And then you fear that any reality you create is going to bring more of that and more of the darkness for you to deal with. And so you don't feel safe. You don't feel safe. You don't feel powerful. You don't feel like you can create stuff.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I thought I had reached a plateau, and then it started all over again. So thanks again. I know what to work with.
Right. Yes,
but
you do.
I didn't want to second-guess myself anymore, so it's deeply appreciated.
Right. Well, you know, most people don't go to a psychic or a channel or somebody for a reading and ask, well, what are some wonderful lifetimes? The one who channels us actually did that. She says, like, I'm sick of hearing about these horrible lifetimes. These lifetimes where I was absolutely miserable and I lost all my loved ones in war and a blah, blah, blah. I'm so tired of these. So in a Lazarus reading, said, okay, tell me about some positive lifetimes. And she got three positive lifetimes. And it goes, oh, wow. That's really nice. You know, it was just a whole different perspective. And so a lot of times when we're talking with dear ones and they want to know, they say, oh, I have this issue. Where does it come from? And, you know, okay, yeah, we could see the lifetime where you suffered this and suffered that and went through this craziness, blah, blah, blah. And it emphasizes that energy and you bring this through and blah, 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 and all that and so on. And we sense that sometimes that's very counterproductive. And there's some people that absolutely insist they want to know details of the other lifetime. And we would suggest you don't need that type of reflection to know who you are anymore. You've grown up past that, dear one, now.
Well, I used to say to my husband, I love myself, even with all my flaws. I wish there were more people like me. In general, that's how I feel about myself. And I know who my friends are, but I haven't been, you know, I've been really hard on myself lately.
Right,
I
but you didn't
figure out what the hell was
you
causing
didn't really
it.
Trust that, though. In a sense, you didn't see that that was a workable M.O.
No.
You said, okay, I can be here, and this is a nice little space. It's my space, but everything out there, then I have to, like, encounter all this craziness again.
Well, my feedback with certain loved ones who were no accident, I really got stuck with that. But healing my relationship with has helped.
Good.
Family, etc.
Good, good. That's excellent.
I kept that junk alive.
Mm-hmm.
Good riddance.
And you're on a track in which you decided, I'm going to blaze a trail through this particular pile of crap. It's your gift to the planet, you know?
Oh, I know things. I know things, but I didn't want it to be distorted.
Right.
With my personal crap.
Right. Well, and you know that in the past, your personal crap is really, that thread of identity has been really a very, very scrawny little twisty kind of thread that's taken you through a lot of dark stuff. So you don't really like to spend much time right there, right? But what we're seeing here is this, and not just for you, but for those who are really on a mission here, really willing to be who they are, to really put their lights on and really start shining, that this is a detox time. And this is why somehow for most everyone, a lot of this kind of crappy kind of mirror, crappy kind of feedback is up. There's maybe more, even more intense for some people at this time. Not necessarily because they're doing something wrong. It's not. It's because this is a chaos time on the planet, and that's a time to investigate and look at the darkness and heal that criticism of the darkness, heal that sense of woundedness that one feels when one looks at their own darkness and said, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, I've been all truncated and chopped up and so on and so on. I'm a wreck. You know, so you're at a pivotal stage of empowerment right at the moment. Okay.
I agree.
And
I know it.
And moving from the darkness into the light, but you're embracing the darkness now.
Okay.
And as you embrace the darkness, the feedback of your mirrors in your physical plane reality are going to reflect more of your light.
Oh, I've gotten better reflections. I just want to.
Mm-hmm. And it's just going to keep getting better. Yes,
yeah.
It's getting better until you're going to find the peace that's there. There's a peace that's there. You're still in the turbulence periodically. Sometimes you touch on the peace and then you go back through the turbulence. But when you heal this relationship with yourself and you step into the peace, what a relief. Can you all imagine that? Can you just feel that? Oh, the peace. All of you have touched your peace. All of you know what you're looking for. All of you know what you want to feel, yes? You know? But when you actually sit in it and own it as your natural state of being, that you know that this peace is part of your identity. And it will never, never leave you. You know? Then you're then you realize you've made it to another level of self, awareness, a level of self-image. Your portrayal of that, your expression of that identity then is more authentic and more real to you in your temperament, more empowered, more responsible. And therefore, your feedback from your reality will feedback what you now already know. And it's just so much fun when that comes in, because it's not like you're looking to your external reality to validate you. All of a sudden, it's coming in and you're saying, yeah, ha-ha. I'm just celebrating it.
Time to celebrate.
Yeah, it is. It's getting there. And at this particular time of chaos, like we were talking about last Wednesday night, is that it's going to be a lot of very powerful emergence going on in the next 2 to 3 months. And we hope and we wish and we request on all levels that all of you are part of that. All right? That for you to shine your lights, the world needs you. All right. So let's take a little break. And we're going to take a briefer break. How much?
10 minutes.
All right. 10 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll go through the steps, and then we'll go through the meditation. All right. Thank you so much, dear ones, for your questions. Very powerful. Thank you so much, because it brought up information that we are very grateful for, that we now see it's very important for all of you to have heard. So thank you very much, and farewell for now.